Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, this is VexX, and this is the Vex on Vex podcast, episode number 18, joined for the third installment with Mr. Gutta Nice.
What up, what up, what up?
And Mr. Michael Belinsky.
Hello, everyone.
I'm Michael Belinsky.
Yeah, that's how we
that's,
talk.
That's how you have to talk to be in a goth band.
Is it? Is that how you have to talk to be in a goth band?
It
all
is.
Creepy
There's
and shit? How did you get into a goth band, Mr. Belinsky? How did that exactly happen in your life?
Well.
Yes.
So a big part of my early development, most people think that I went from black metal to pagan.
But you did, though.
I did directly, yeah.
So you're actually, a liar, yeah. Just so we're clear.
Well, I didn't say
you're
I
like,
didn't.
Most people think some shit that didn't happen, but in reality, that's the shit exactly that happened.
That's what happened.
That's it.
And that's
exactly
the
story.
Shit. That's the story. That's how that happened. That's how you get in a goth band. No. So I was friends with somebody who owned a CD store that specialized in goth music, and he was also a DJ. So he
is this the fucking ferret guy?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Fuck
so
that guy.
He had
dancing ferret. Ferret? Yeah, see your face? Got it. See your fucking face?
A dancing ferret.
A dancing ferret. Ferrets smell like piss and winning. That's what they smell like.
he had goth nights that I would attend with my friends, and they got bigger and bigger.
Those
and
are always,
particularly,
famous.
I'm sorry?
Famous. Those are always famous.
Yes.
Those are always famous. That's what she says.
Those are always famous. particularly one event that he had called Dracula's Ball got to a point where
Dracula had balls.
Yes. I remember the first one we went to was like a smaller club or something like that, and then around the time I stopped going, it would sell out the truck and places like that way in advance.
Yeah, right. For months, actually.
Yeah, months in advance of the actual events. So he went from, like, you know, me and, like, 10 other people to, like, a couple thousand people most nights when he would do them. So it got turned into a really big thing, and I got really involved through that, kind of in the whole goth scene. I met the people from, like, Metropolis Records and Project Records and stuff like that, which were big goth labels at the time, and they were the ones pushing all the artists who would play kind of this circuit of these goth nights all up and down the East Coast.
Right.
So I got to meet a lot of the bands, and I got really, really heavily involved in that scene, and that was kind of where career-wise I guess it was going to go. And then all of a sudden I met some guys in a black metal band that was pretty established, and I always liked black metal, but right. They were like, hey, do you want to come work with us? And I just kind of instantly got really steeped in that world. And my thing was, I was talking to some people who were a lot more established than me, and they were like, just try and get credits on stuff. Like, that's a quick way to kind of build your name.
Right.
So within like 2 or 3 years of working on black metal, I worked on like 50 albums. Mm.
50. Yeah, 50.
In any capacity that I could. Like, some of them I would just do a logo or do some art, all the way up to producing and recording the entire albums. Right. Anything I could to get my name on something.
Right.
It got to a point where I would work on multiple projects in a single day, like out of my apartment. Like, people, bands would come in and like drop shit off to me. Like, we need logos that look like this. We need this for a t-shirt. We need the anything I could get involved in.
Right.
And it just so happened to mostly be black metal and death metal bands. Cause once you kind of get in that scene, like, it's a very like bastardized scene. Like, everybody plays in multiple bands and stuff like that.
Right.
So like, say Vex was in a death metal band, and I did a t-shirt with them, but he's in 4 other bands, so they're all going to get me to do their t-shirt.
Right.
If I work on their record, they're all going to get me to work on their record.
So if their roof were to leak, we'd all work on their roof.
They all work on their roof. So it just, it really, really quickly kind of like ballooned into this whole thing. And then my friend Tina was like, hey, this is cool and all. Like, you're getting your name out there. Like, I went on tour. I worked on records. I did all this other stuff. He's like, it's cool that you're getting it, because Tina used to be a he. It was a man named Blade, and Blade was like, hey, it's cool that you're doing all this, but like, is this the music that you would do? Like, your own music?
Right.
Like, is this what you, like, I know you really, and I did, I love black metal, I still do to this day, but Tina was like, is this really, if you were going to write your own music, is this what it would sound like? I was like, well, no. She's like, well, maybe you should do that. Like, what you think it should sound like. So I kind of started writing songs, and so stupidly, I was like, I'm going to write songs for some other band to play.
Right.
Like, it didn't even like cross my mind that I should just put it out myself. So I ended up recording what was the first Pagan EP as like a demo. like to give to bands, right, and be like, you guys should go and play these songs because they're really good. So I played it for Tina and I was like, is it good? And she was like, yeah, I really like it. I was like, cool, because I'm going to shop it around to bands to record. And she's like, I don't understand. I was like, so that they can really record the song. She's like, they are recorded. I just listened to them.
All right.
Like, and you're like, duh, duh, duh.
Yeah, and I'm like, wait, what? And she's like, put this out. Like, this is recorded. Like, you made those songs. Right. Like, put that shit out. So I started putting out Pagan stuff. So I came up with the name Pagan because I was like, well, everything my name has been on has been black metal and death metal. So I need to, like, some other name so people don't think it's that and get pissed off or whatever.
Right. So you would definitively say that Pagan is a goth group.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
But you don't wear the goth makeup
anymore.
You just shave off your eyebrows and shit. I don't know.
I don't wear the makeup anymore. I used to. There's a lot of very goth pictures of me.
There are. Yeah. There are, but they're all like pre-Pagan.
Yeah, because it was goth scene then. When I was working with the black metal bands, I intentionally dressed like very preppy.
Ah.
Yeah, that was on purpose. In fact, there's a black metal DVD, and I'm not going to say which band because, I don't want to give them.
Didn't you get sued by them?
I get sued a lot. there's a DVD that I'm in, and I'm wearing like cargo shorts and a polo shirt or something like that, surrounded by all these guys with like gauntlets on and bullet belts and all that kind of stuff. Because to me, like, it was the thing that I hated about black metal, and once I kind of got out of it and back into the goth thing, I realized what I didn't like about what was happening in the scene at that time is black metal purported itself as like the most extreme and rebellious form of the music that was out there. But it was extreme and rebellious by everyone looking and sounding exactly alike at all.
So there was
times.
A uniform.
Yeah.
There was like a vibe. Like, you had a punk rock was like that. Like if you remember specifically, the Ramones looked a certain way, and then the Clash looked a certain way, but then the Pistols had like the manager owned that shop, Sex,
right,
and there was literally fashion. The music was great, but it was more of a fashion thing. You needed your fucking leather jacket and your motorcycle chain.
Yeah,
and
it was
your
as
green
much
hair.
The visual at that
yeah.
time. Yeah.
And you're saying that well, it's still the same way, isn't it? Black metal?
It's now, like, I stopped listening to new black metal bands for a long, long time because I just wasn't interested. Even at that time, like, one of the bands I was working with, whose name I won't say, that was the primary one I worked with at that time, I would get demos from bands and, like, you should listen to us. We sound just like this band you work with.
And you're like, that's not the point, man.
Why the fuck would I want you then? Like, why would I want to work with you? Like, I already work with that band. Like, I'm already doing that.
This is what you do.
Yeah. They're like, you could sound just like you, but with us. And I was like, and imagine I listened to it and they were better than us. Fuck that. I don't want to give them publicity for being the better us.
Right.
Like, this band's just like, if you like us, they're a little bit better. Check that shit out. Fuck those guys.
Interesting.
So yeah, I wanted nothing to kind of do with that scene. So I stopped listening to black metal for a really long time. And only recently have I started listening to it again. And I absolutely love the new, like, young black metal bands. They're amazing. And it's because they don't follow that shit anymore.
Right.
I remember seeing a Vice article a couple years ago about a band that I love called A Pregnant Light. And they said, this is the first black metal record that somebody's going to get pregnant to. Mm. Like, and to think of that, that used to be... And the reason that hit me so hard is because that used to be when people would, when I first started Pagan and I would do interviews and they're like, this isn't black metal. And I'd be like, listen, when you meet that slutty goth girl at the black metal show and you take her home, you can't fuck her to this band. Like, the bands that I was in at that time, I was like, you can fuck her to Pagan.
Right.
Like, that was my, so as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, a black metal band you could actually fuck to? Like, I had to go and listen to that band.
So this is the Tracy Morgan of black metal. I'm going to take her behind a fence and get her pregnant. Like, literally.
Yeah, well, that was my thing for a long time, because all these metal zines would interview me and stuff like that early on. That's all it was. And they'd be like, so Pagan's not black metal. What's that about? What's this?
All right. You're out of it over a decade at this point.
Yeah.
Do you miss it?
No.
But you said there's black metal that you have affinity for.
Yes.
And that you adore and you like it. You don't miss it?
No.
You're like the King Kong mother trucker. Like, if you return, like, Michael Bolinski returns to black metal.
We've had offers. There's been offers for... So there was a band briefly that Tina was in as well that I fronted called Anti-God. And we've had offers for Anti-God shows and to finish... We started an album that never came out. So to finish the album, like, indie labels and stuff have gotten to me and they're like... You know, we'll give you X amount of money to finish that record and stuff. And I won't do it.
Why?
Because it would be fake.
Let us finish it. We'll take the money. Yeah, me and Gutta will finish that shit. We'll do a spin on it. They're like, hip hop, dark metal? This is crazy. Crazy.
Whatever little bit of success Pagans had is because people really connect with it. Because it's not like mainstream pop music. It's not. Like, people are finding it and connecting with it because that's. We're super fucked up. And other people are really fucked up too. So they hear that and they're like, hey, these people are just as broken as I am. Let me check out everything that they have.
To relate.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, bear with me.
Sure.
We're going to do. Here we go. Here's the thing. You're in Pagan for a very long time.
Yeah, it's over a decade now.
We played a show together.
Correct.
Back in Halloween. Correct. And we got there and there's all these Pagan fans, Gutter. Like, they're everywhere. And then as the night went on, they just fucking left. Why did all your people leave?
They were coming just to see us.
Obviously.
They weren't
happy. I got that impression.
They were not happy with the show, with the sitting through multiple bands and stuff like that. That's not something. So for a long time, Pagan didn't play shows. And then when we did, the shows were huge, huge train wrecks. And that actually, unfortunately, kind of became our thing for a little bit. Which is a bad thing. You want to move away. You want to move away from that when that kind of becomes like the shit that you do. And it's not. I don't mean in the sense of us having a bad reputation, because our reputation sucks and it'll never be any. But like, if you either buy into this or you don't.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not. You're not going to be swayed if you don't like this kind of music to listen to us.
Right.
So what was happening though, and the same thing happened to me in the black metal days, because in the black metal days there was a then little known rapper named Eminem.
Right.
Who had a problem with some other rappers that I knew. So I did an interview in some shitty little magazine that nobody read. And I was like, fuck Eminem or whatever. And said all this stuff. 2 years later, Eminem's huge.
Right.
And so that interview was reprinted on MTV as if MTV had spoken to me.
Right.
And said all this stuff. So then, like, every interview I do, they're like, hey, who do you hate now? Because they're hoping they were hoping that MTV would pick up their article, because right. that gave that shitty little metal magazine tons of publicity.
Right.
Because they were quoted on MTV.
Pagan says he hates you.
They were like, yeah, Mike Bilinski says he's going to kill Eminem. Not what I said. I was just like, oh, this guy's record sucks. So then everything I did kind of became about, yeah, you know what? Band sucks. Why don't you tell me? Yeah, would you kill them? Like, it's crazy. So it turned into this whole thing. I was like, I'm not going to do interviews if it's just who don't I like. So I got to a point where I was like, for a long time, we were like, we're not going to talk about music. Like, we're not going to talk about music we don't like. We're only going to say shit if it's positive about other bands. Because
fucking
I didn't want that.
Hippie. You well, fucking sell
not,
out.
It's not that. It's I didn't want to become the band that was only known for shit talking other bands.
You are. You're that guy.
I am.
If they keep asking, that's all it is.
So,
but wait.
That was in the black.
No, did you hear New Deep Purple? New Deep Purple.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Okay.
And then with Pagan, so I think we did like in the first couple years there was no shows, and then I got together with Tina and a guy named Jeff, and I was like, all right, let's go do shows. I don't remember the first show at all. I was told though we drank excessively. Is what the promoter told us. Destroyed a lot of the venue, and no one seemed satisfied with the performance. Was what I was told when I was awake. Is they weren't sure if we played any actual Pagan songs. Was the other thing that they said.
Man.
They're like, you did some stuff on stage, and then you cursed a lot, you threw stuff, you were very drunk. And they kept reassuring us, like, no, you did stuff.
So
we're on
like
stage.
A party.
And I was like, oh, shit. So then I went on. It was MySpace at the time.
Dang.
And literally the first, I'm like, oh, man, everybody's going to go nuts. So I go on the forum, the music forums on MySpace, and it was like, went to the first Pagan show, greatest fucking show ever.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? Like, epic performance. So the show has kind of kept going like that. And I'm not saying we did it on purpose,
right?
But it just kind of became a thing. Like, you get into a certain cycle where you're just like, I don't need to play. Like, fuck
right.
this. So there was literally one show, and when it stopped was we did a show for MySpace. It was a live webcast on MySpace. We played for 6 minutes. I think we were scheduled for an hour. We played 6 minutes.
Dang.
We didn't even play one whole Pagan song. We played the opening of the old TV show, Tales from the Dark Side. For real. It's actually pretty awesome. When I watched it back, like, we killed it.
Right. We killed that opening. That jingle was ours.
Didn't rehearse that. I don't know how that came about. We were probably watching Tales from the Dark Side right beforehand. And then we started one pagan song, and at some point I was like, fuck this, who wants to fight? And it just turned into a whole, like, melee. And somebody wrote, that 6 minutes changed music. And as soon as I saw that, I was just like, we need to never do this again.
Right.
Because this is what we're going to become known for now. Is like, that's the band that does that. And I've seen that happen. So you mentioned the Sex Pistols earlier. When the Sex Pistols reunited in the 90s and then again in the 2010s, they sold out big venues, but the reviews from fans were atrocious. Because fans remember them being the Sex Pistols, the image. Now they're old guys who are serious about playing music and are up there, and they play
it's,
through their songs.
Hold on. It's interesting you say these words. I'm going to help you. You're not a big Sex Pistols fan, I'm assuming. Correct? All right. The original bass player, who's on the record,
Glenn Matlock,
before Sid Vicious,
right,
was a skilled, well-oiled musician.
Well, and that's the and I would argue, too, that Steve Jones was a really good musician.
No, actually, you didn't let me finish. Everybody in the band's a great musician except for Sid Vicious. Yeah. That drummer is a jazz professional now. He's a monster player. Paul Cook.
And I'm even a huge Johnny Rotten fan from Public Image.
Public Image and Pill. Yeah, so you have these guys who were really not in like a parallel to what you're thinking, but the Beatles of their time frame.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're from England. They worked very well together. They wrote very original material that had never been heard before. I mean, it's kind of the Ramones. But it is. But it's different. And, yeah. So to say that they didn't play, by the time they got to America, they didn't have a fucking bass player.
Oh, no, yeah. And that's what
and that's why they
wanted,
broke up.
People wanted the train wreck.
I know, but it wasn't really like
and
that.
And the same thing just happened again when Tommy Stinson left Guns N' Roses to do that short-lived Replacements reunion.
Well, they did it for real.
Like. Right, and the Replacements went out. The Replacements are another band. They're kind of the bridge between punk and alternative.
They were
music.
A car crash, though, when they were like originally in the
and 80s. That's, yeah, you watch any footage of them, their shows lasted 15 minutes. They maybe made it through two or three songs.
That's why the guitar player died, right? Because he drank himself
and
to
then
death.
When Tommy Stinson went back out and did these Replacement shows, they're playing 2.5 hours
like a real band,
30 songs,
yeah.
And people are like, what the fuck is this,
right?
And it's just right. Like it's like they're getting the amazing shows from these bands. Like if you're a true fan of the music, like these are life-altering shows, like 30 songs from this band, every song you could possibly want to hear. But then there's people who show up because they want the train wreck. Right. And they're not getting that. It's the same thing every time I've gone to see Guns N' Roses. I stand out in the crowd and there's people like, oh, I wonder if they'll be 3 hours late. I wonder if they'll do this. And then they're actually let down when the show starts time.
Don't say that. I was so happy the show started on time.
No, but there's people who aren't.
Because I stood in the crowd when he was fucking...
Because they want to be a part of that story. They want to have that story.
Bullshit.
It's
that's
real.
Awful.
They don't care about the shenanigans.
Yeah,
the
they
music.
Want the story.
The retread of Guns N' Roses came through.
The real band.
And I was there when they didn't show up for Philly. I just stood there for hours listening to Kid Capri. Is that who the fucking DJ was? Kid Capri, right? No, for real. Just like cutting and cutting and cutting and fucking mixing and cutting. I'm like, okay, where the fuck is going to be? I could see their gear. I could see the guitar set up on the side of the stage. I'm like, just come play. And they're like, I'm sorry to announce that Guns N' Roses will not be performing tonight. And people just fucking started throwing chairs on the stage. Like, it got fucking gnarly. I didn't like that at all. It was awful. I had a t-shirt that said I survived this ordeal, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. And that's the thing.
But I didn't like it.
But there's a lot of people who did. There's a lot of people who, like, that's a big story for them.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Don't like it.
And I would never compare myself to those bands. But once I saw somebody who wrote, that 6 minutes changed music, I was like, we're never going to do that again.
Right.
Because I don't want to become known for people just only coming to see us for a train wreck.
Like, right.
Like, we're either going to play shows or not. So we stopped playing shows for a while. And now we're actually like a pretty reasonable band. Like we show up on time. We almost rehearse. We occasionally do like 4 or 5 shows a year, which is a lot for us. Because to get through a whole show for us is like spectacular for us to manage that. And we've even done like 2-hour shows and stuff like that. Like for real grown up show up on time, do the fucking show, play 20 songs. Like we've done it for real. And I'm very proud of us for being able to do that. That band, though, that early incarnation of Pagan, couldn't have done that if we wanted to do that.
We
couldn't have done that.
That was amazing. I asked Mike one question, and we went for 20 fucking minutes. That was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Now,
Everybody who appears on the Vex on Vex podcast gets asked a certain amount of questions. We had covered previously, Gutter, how you were, at 12 years old, your favorite artists.
All right.
What is the first time and how did you discover pornography? Dun, 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 dun. Raina, thank you for watching. You're the only one.
Oh, shit. My brother Chuck Black.
You're going to give me first names and last names and shit? No, but how did this go down? Like, so we were having people on before. I was at a friend's basement when I was like six, and he's like, "You want to see my dad's shit?" And I'm like, "Yeah, what?" And you're like, "Oh, titties and giant bushes," you know, because it was a long time ago, you know, because I'm old. So that's why that was like that. But how did this go down?
Just being a little kid, snooping in my big
brother. So you found your big brother's stuff.
One in that mattress changed my life.
Haven't been the same since.
Yeah.
Aw, that's lovely. How about you? Did we ask?
Yeah, I don't think you did.
Gent magazine, I remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then you did. Yeah, Gent magazine, and then I worked in a porn shop when I was like eight.
I want you to tell Gutta how you worked in a porn shop at eight. Tell him the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
At eight.
So, near my grandparents, I was barely raised as a child, but while I was being raised, on those rare occasions, it was by my grandparents. Near their house was a bookstore they opened up because there used to be a community college center right near there. It's not there any longer. It's a gym or something like that. But it used to be a school.
Right.
So a bookstore opened up by the school that was a used bookstore. It was really a comic book store for the kids. So in the front, when you would first walk in, there was a big rack of like comic books. And then the rest of it was porn magazines.
There was a big rack, yeah. Bud. There was a big rack.
There was more racks behind it. It was porn magazines and videos and stuff like that. So it was an adult bookstore, but they didn't call themselves that so that they could get the lease near the school,
right.
Is basically what right, it was. So. Right. So they were like a used bookstore or something like that. It said on the outside. So I used to go in there to buy comic books. So my dad or grandfather, whoever, would take me by the store, drop me off. I'd run in, grab whatever comic books, like the new comic books, and buy them. They didn't come in with me.
Right.
So they didn't know. I didn't even really understand like with the rest of the store. I just knew it was like adult books or whatever. So I'd just get my comic books and leave. So finally the one day I come in, the guy's like, "You're here all the time. You think you could come in Saturday and help me stock shelves? I'll give you $20 or whatever." All right, cool. So I do this a couple of times. Finally, it's getting like close to the holidays. My dad's super proud that I got like an after school job so young.
Right.
And right. He's like, "I'll stop by and pick you up." Well, this time he came in the store.
Dun, 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 dun. The first
time. And he saw what the store really was. And he's like, "That's the last time you come here."
Oh. I don't know how the 8-year-old even get to that fucking point, actually. But that's okay. So yeah, I used to fucking sling porn.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why he's all fucked up in the head now. But that really happened. So here we are, Vex on Vex podcast. Now, we never really finished this thread in the first one. What are your guys' thoughts that they had taken down the personals from Craigslist? Because of that federal regulation, do you think it augments the society we live in? Did it change things on the internet? Like, what's going to happen because of this?
It's a slippery slope. So say I'm an Amazon Prime user.
Sure.
I could go on Amazon right now. I'm not going to do this, Amazon. Don't you fuck with my passwords. I could go anyone, not me. I'm not going to use me. Someone could go on Amazon, if they have Amazon Prime, buy a 3D printer and a bunch of rolls of filament, and in 2 days start building an arsenal.
What does that have to do with fucking Craigslist personals? What the fuck is wrong with you?
You could go on a murder spree and kill hundreds of people with those guns that you made off of Amazon. Is it Amazon's fault that you did that? This is the door that you're opening by blaming the website.
All right.
For the crime.
3D printers are creepy. Because you really can manufacture anything with right. a 3D printer. Now, the logistics and internal work is... Here's where I'm confused about a 3D printer. If I get a Glock and I manufacture out of plastic, which now I can smuggle onto a plane, by the way, how come the internal workings of said Glock are made through the 3D printer?
What do you mean? How come? What do you mean?
Well, no. So, if I'm going to physically 3D print something... Mm-hmm. How does the device see inside of what it's doing? Like, it could make a perfect...
You're making parts at a time.
That's my question.
Yeah.
So they can't just put a gun in.
It, yeah.
You don't get a Glock and be like, "Here's my Glock."
No. You're making pieces. You'd have to put it together. Just like when you field strip a gun to clean it.
Now, wouldn't it cost like a ridiculous amount of money to get the materials for said CD printer to manufacture or a gun?
No, I'm not encouraging anybody to do this. I need to...
No, I'm learning something. I'm serious.
But no, for a few $100, you get a 3D printer and enough plastic to make a handful of guns.
Wow, that is creepy. Then, but the bullets are still metal.
Still regular bullets. And in the early version, so depending on what your access to material is, because now they have really, 3D printers have come a long way, and there's a lot stronger material that they can print with than the standard plastic that hold up a lot better. But in the early guns, you needed something to use as a firing pin as well.
Yeah.
So you just need a nail. Any nail would do the job.
But we're talking about, so in theory, you could, Jesus Christ, I'm probably going back.
You can also get a box of nails on Amazon just to make that abundantly clear.
Why are you doing this? Yeah. And if you get the Anarchist Cookbook. Yeah. Well, no, here's the thing. So if you manufacture said weapons on your 3D printer, you can't get it onto a plane because without a firing pin or gunpowder or the bullet, it's useless.
So the bullets would be the hard part.
Yeah.
But you could get something that could be used as a firing pin on there.
You but just, bullets are still it. The and then even the if you part. Make plastic bullets, gunpowder is fucking gunpowder, and that's just correct. The way it is. It has to be the way it is, or it doesn't work in any capacity.
I mean, people have still gotten guns and bullets and stuff on
them. I mean, they have.
You could definitely get this gun strong enough to do some damage, though, as far as, like...
Explain.
A paintball gun don't have a real bullet.
But
that shot could hurt.
No, but you can't get a paintball gun onto the fucking plane.
I know, I understand what you're saying. You just had to modify
the bullet. He's just saying maybe some other kind of projectile.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, any kind of firing anything has to have metal in it. There's nothing all plastic that works. Anything. The bullets are a big deal. And like you said, paintball gun, there's still parts of that that are fucking metal.
Right. But no, I'm saying the actual projectile is not metal.
You're not taking my plane with a paint gun. You know what I'm saying? Like, so somebody even got a whole paintball gun. They're like, oh, I'm going to shoot you in the head. Well, that'll hurt, but I'm not going to crash my fucking plane because of it.
They did it with box cutters.
That's some of the most insane shit I've ever heard in my life.
It's
like,
a really good point, though.
Like, if you pull a box cutter, I think I'm going to break your nose. Like, you might cut me. For the possibility that you could get my jugular is so low with a box cutter. Like, you'll cut my neck, but you have to get to my fucking jugular.
You wouldn't even know you was cut with a box cutter.
You wouldn't even feel it. And then, I don't know. I can't imagine get bloody. If I'm sitting on a plane, right, and I'm not, like, 85 years old, I'm the age I am now, 20 to now, and you have a box cutter, fuck you. Let's have a fist fight. Mm. We're going to fight. I used to work in security, right. And if somebody pulls a weapon on you, we were taught you put your hand around their wrist, no matter what it is.
Right.
I'm a man. You're a man. I'm scared. You're scared. We both have adrenaline. But whatever this is ain't getting to me because
right.
I'm a man.
Right.
I'm going to keep my hand on your wrist. You can punch me.
Right.
You can kick me. But this ain't happening.
Right.
Whatever so, this weapon
I'm
is.
I'm gonna tell a quick story. And again, this isn't me. This is an alleged.
Alleged person.
Alleged. So they have TSA PreCheck that you can pay for now.
Yes.
This was one of the times we recently went overseas. I paid for the TSA PreCheck, which was the smartest thing I ever did because the line was fucking insane. Paid $50. I walked right past that fucking line. And inside, you go through a metal detector still. I didn't even empty my pockets.
No, but you have a specialty blah, blah, blah in order for that to happen. And the metal detector, don't do the quotey hand things. That's real. Metal detector is still real.
No, because we went through two sets of metal detectors that nothing on me set off. When we got to that other country, I set off every fucking metal detector and was strip searched.
Oh, so
for those same things.
So they fucked up.
Yeah. So I could have gotten on that plane. And then when we got on that plane, we were on there with a children's Christian group that was going to build a hospital. I could have taken over that plane with a fucking paintball gun.
Someone just said something on here. The barrel is still metal. This is Brandon English. And we'll set off a metal detector. A plastic barrel is not something you want to actually use because it would fragment. Like when the you might get one shot off with that, but that's going to fragment.
That's not true.
Explain.
He's wrong. I don't want to get
he's
too
wrong.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far into it. You can look up videos online.
Brandon, I think you're
look up. Look
he's
up.
Saying he's saying you're wrong, man.
It's no. It's nothing against him. What he's saying is totally sound. The thing is with 3D printing, the filament that they use now is a lot stronger. Than it used to be. And even with the ones that it wasn't, the ATF's original argument against Defense Distributed, who released the plans for the first 3D gun, was that you could only do one or two shots. This was 7-8 years ago at this
point. So obviously it's quantum leap since then.
Well, and it was wrong then, because what Defense Distributed did was live stream them printing a gun and firing like 20 rounds out of it or something like that. So
magazine.
It was wrong then. But the gun after that point, after a certain point, was unfireable. But here's the thing about 3D printing. You just print another piece of whatever piece broke.
Right.
So, you're going to have 100 barrels sitting around. You don't even need that. You could print 100 guns if you wanted to. But now, the stuff that they have now, I've seen people shoot shotgun shells and stuff through 3D printed guns.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's multiple times, though.
Yes.
Well, that's upsetting.
Yeah, so it's not the materials that they use now. And again, that's not what you're going to get with a $300 printer through Amazon. We're going to get a $300 printer through Amazon that you print out. It's going to be those early stage 3D printed guns you'll get one magazine worth of bullets out of before it's not usable.
So we're just all fucking doomed. So between people driving excessively in their cars while on Facebook, no, for real, or texting, right. And then you can just 3D print away, we're just fucking doomed.
Yeah.
I'll take my chances. I mean, I'm old. Like, I the arc of my life, if I die tomorrow, I'm good. I'm good. I mean, I'm going to miss some shit, which would suck, right? But I'm going to miss the shitting on myself years, the pissing on myself years. I'm okay.
That's, I'm good. Yeah. And just to, I know a little bit about guns. I'm not a gun expert on this. We actually had arms dealers on Loud and Loaded before to discuss this whole thing.
Creepy.
Probably part of why I was under a federal investigation. I believe that that was a big part of the investigation. But we had arms dealers on to discuss 3D printing, and we talked with engineers about the logistics of the pieces for guns. And it's not common sense would tell you what it is, but with the filament and stuff that they use, like, they 3D print pieces of cars now,
right,
and stuff like that. So this is, you know, a gun barrel firing more than a couple bullets is a thing.
He says it's feasible, Brandon English. It's feasible.
Yeah.
You have to comment so we can read it. Also, I want to say, Robot, thank you for hanging out and watching us. We greatly appreciate it. We wish you were here. Robot Phillips was unable to record today. He is the official co-host of the Vex on Vex podcast.
I know. I want to meet him.
This is episode 18. Yeah, Mike really wanted to meet you. Like, the guy who runs the network wanted to meet you. But things happen, so Robot couldn't be here. We love him. Wish he was here. But that's life, you know?
This is the thing about the whole, going back to the gun thing, about the whole gun debate, though. Like, we're arguing over laws and stuff for guns when every single person at this table has $300 that they could go get a print. Even if we can't make the high-end shotgun shell guns, we can make something that's going to fire a bunch of bullets and kill people.
I'm a roofer. I keep an axe in my bag. I kill a lot of people with that axe. A lot of people.
I mean, though, like, if they outlawed guns right now, everyone at this table could still make an arsenal of guns from those.
All right, here's my question. They outlaw guns tomorrow, right? They take them and shit. What's your – how do you print a 3D printer with a weapon?
That, Alex Jones.
What?
I said, hear that, Alex Jones.
he's really upset, isn't
he? Vex said they're going to take all of our guns tomorrow. He knows.
All right, hold on. I had said something, and Rob, I caught it. There's a movie in 1993 called In the Line of Fire, and in that movie there was a gun that was made all out of plastic. All right, RP, what you got to look up. Oh, what was his name? Fuck, the actor who had the gun. It was I forget his name. McDowell? Not McDowell. All right, this, you guys got to help me. You got to help me fucking do this. There's a movie called Red. You know, I'm talking with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, right?
Dane. Who's the crazy old guy with the white hair? He's also the Russian in fucking that movie with where Matt Damon's the card guy. Teddy KGB. John Malkovich. Thank you, Robert. Robot Phillips. John Malkovich. You guys know who John Malkovich is? So he's in that movie in 93, and he's in a boat. And he's like, oh, hi, look what I have. And he loads the gun, and he kills both guys in the boat with a plastic fucking gun. He's like, I'm going to use it to kill the president. Bang! Bang! John Malkovich. No idea? Yeah, and I think Clint Eastwood was the hero in the movie. I'm not mistaken.
This was in 93?
Yeah. Yeah. Robot's doing his job. Good job, sir. No idea? You guys never... In Line of Fire, remember the fucking movie? Good
movie.
Clint Eastwood, like, towards the end of his, like... rattling career or some shit. As a kid, what was your favorite movie, Mr. Gutta Nice?
Oh, Boys in the Hood.
For real? That was the one? You didn't like Belly better? I like Belly,
man. Menace to Society.
All right. Mr. Belinsky, do you remember the movie Menace to Society?
Of course.
Do you know how old you were, what, the first time you saw it, like what you thought of it?
I was pretty young because All Eyes on Me is really when I got into Tupac.
Which is way after. Menace is 93.
Right. I knew Tupac from Digital Underground.
But he wasn't in Menace.
No. I knew him from Digital Underground, and with Digital Underground was his first movie appearance.
Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
What's it called?
Nothing But Trouble.
Nothing But Trouble. Yeah. Oh my God, that awful fucking movie with Bruce Willis's ex-wife. Demi Moore's in that fucking movie.
Chevy Chase.
Dan Aykroyd. What happened to Chevy fucking Chase? Remember when Chevy Chase was cool? You don't even remember that shit, do you? There was a time where Chevy Chase was fucking cool, and then they gave him a fucking a TV show, like a night show in 93 on Fox. Remember? He was like, the Chevy Chase show, la la la. They built him a theater. It was so bad. I think he was like post Arsenio Hall or something. Yeah, like Arsenio left, and Chevy Chase was the future of late night.
They tried a few different. Remember when Roseanne had one?
No, I don't remember that.
That was actually good.
Bullshit. Very shortly. It was decent, though. What year frame are we talking here?
Early to mid-90s.
Seriously? Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Short-lived.
RP, look this up. I don't believe that Roseanne had a fucking midnight talk show. Yeah, you got to find that for me. Show.
The reason I remember that is Tupac was on it. Well, and that's the thing. So I knew who Tupac was from Digital Underground, but I didn't know those first couple of Tupac solo records at that time.
Right.
The next thing that I saw with Tupac was Menace to Society.
He's not in that movie.
Or no, what you am think, I thinking?
You're
of?
Thinking Juice.
Juice.
And you then look like no, dude in Juice, motherfucker. Then I don't know Menace to Society, if that's what I'm confusing.
Now, listen. Menace to Society, he got fired off of the movie. He was in Menace to Society.
Then who's in Menace to Society?
Well, nobody, really. Fuck, I want... All right, so here's... I don't... The actors... Old Dog, which is the character in Menace Society, becomes a real actor later. He's in a million things, but I was afraid of him in Menace Society. Like, for real. Like, you're laughing in my face. He seemed like, oh my God, he is the scariest. Like, what'd you say about my mama? And then he shot that motherfucker. And then he was like, y'all want some cheeseburgers? I'll suck your dick for some crack. You didn't even see this.
I definitely didn't see this.
Oh my movie. God, it's so good.
So I was thinking of Juice then. Yeah, so Juice is a really good movie.
I love Juice. Yeah, Juice is before Menace. So he's in Juice. Okay. It makes him kind of famous.
Like, right, that's the next thing I knew about.
And then he got hired on Menace. He beat the Singleton. No, not the Singletons. They were two brothers who directed Menace. He beat them up. Like, Tupac's like, you want to be gangster? You want movies about gangsters, motherfucker? I am gangster. And he beat them both up on the... Both of them. Two grown men got beat up by Tupac. Probably him and his crew. But still. And they fired him off the movie. And then he went on fucking MTV Raps. He's like, that's right. I beat them motherfucking asses. What? And Dr. Dre and Ed Lover were like, shut your mouth. You're on TV. He's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm on TV. They know I beat their fucking asses. Fuck them. And I was just like, oh, this is amazing. This is amazing. Robot Phillips just sent me the Roseanne show. I don't want to click on the link and look at it, but I guess it does exist. So yeah. Look at you, Mr. Belinsky, knowing shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's an excellent sing-along of You Don't Bring Me Flowers.
I've seen that!
Tupac and Ice-T.
That's but whose show is that on?
That's the Roseanne show.
Bullshit. Sure, yeah. No, it's Saturday Night Live.
Was it?
I think so.
I thought it was the Roseanne show.
I feel like it's Saturday Night Live, but I remember that fucking thing. They played it a lot, actually. Do you guys remember when Kiss made their return and Tupac Shakur was the guy who introduced them at the Grammys?
No.
Now, Johnny Zero would know because he's a huge Kiss fan, but Kiss returns from the dead with the makeup and fucking Tupac Shakur's like, some of my homeboys is here tonight, and they come out and they're like, and it's like, fucking Kiss! And it's like, they're... Like, Tupac wasn't tall and then had, like, fucking platform boots on top of that. They look like fucking giants next to him. No idea of this happening?
No. I'm not a Kiss guy, though. Although I just listened to the Ace Frehley solo record, so.
And let's discuss. Pretty fucking good, isn't it?
Yeah, I was
You
surprised
were shocked.
Yeah.
I was shocked, too. I thought it would suck.
My everything of Kiss is their movies.
Their movie?
Yeah, Kiss.
There's one movie.
No, there's more than one.
No, there's not.
There's the Phantom thing, Detroit Rock City, and Kiss and Scooby-Doo.
All right, Detroit Rock City doesn't count because it's not in the fucking movie.
Sure, they
don't act in the movie. Yeah. But they don't act in the fucking movie.
It's their movie. I count.
So it doesn't fucking count.
Edward Furlong's in it, the greatest actor of our generation.
What are your thoughts on Mr. Furlong? He was in Terminator 2. Remember Terminator 2?
I remember the movie, but what character?
He's the little kid.
Oh,
he's the guy.
Oh. And then he played that same character in like five other movies, but he's so good at it that it was cool.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No.
Yeah, it was good.
There's a movie. Okay. We always work in Fairmount on the roofs.
Right.
We're always next to a prison. There's a movie called Animal Factory that was shot in that fucking prison with Steve Buscemi.
Right.
And Edward Furlong's the star of that fucking movie.
Wasn't Law by a Citizen, I think, was shot in that one, too.
Except it wasn't. It was up further 95.
So that's state rule.
Yep. What?
No, I'm just trying to think where was the prisons is at when they were shooting this movie.
What you talk about?
I'm trying to figure out like where was the prisoners at when they were shooting this movie.
No. There's a closed one.
Holmesburg.
Yeah, that's it.
You still get housed in there in the gym.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's been closed for many, many years.
No, that's what they...
This is the thing. Gutter knows. Like, I'm telling him about prison. He's like, you know, I've been there, right? Like, I spent time there.
It's like, well, no, I'm telling you, this was a month ago.
But maybe it's only a cross section. Like,
the House of Correction is labeled as condemned.
Okay.
And that jail is still open. So don't let them fool y'all and say
don't
jails.
Let them fool y'all.
they go and make room.
Well, if they want you in there, you're going to be in there. That's how prison be working. Prisons be working there, Mr. Belinsky. Oh, my goodness.
Edward Furlong knows about that, too.
He gets Tom Arnold kind of sodomizes Edward Furlong in that movie. He licks his finger and jams it up his butt. Yeah, Animal Factory.
Watch this fucking movie.
It's really good. It's really good.
It's weird that I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to watch this. Yeah. But like, that's the thing. I just realized how that sounds. That I was just like, Tom Arnold fucking Edward Furlong in the ass.
No,
yeah,
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. He stuck his finger in his butthole.
Oh, I thought that was just like...
That's sodomy.
Yeah, but
if you're penetrating a man's butthole with your finger.
No, I understand.
If you're penetrating, it's sodomy. That's how it works, Raina.
Bad joint.
I've been there. I thought you meant more like that was the precursor. Like he was getting him ready, like foreplay.
I'm going to ask you this question. I've asked you this off microphone. You got to talk into the mic, gutter. I'm getting upset with you. You got to speak into the fucking... like my wife, fuck that. You got to speak into the microphone. Here we go. The gay shit in prison. Is it happening? Are they raping dudes? Or is it just like you said, if you want to be gay, you be gay, and that's just how it is?
You know, you just don't go to jail and be gay. You was gay before you got there, you feel me?
No, that's not what I asked.
No, I'm getting there.
I am not gay.
So why would you go there and be gay there?
No, they fuck you. Like, you're going to live with Bubba in the cell, and he's going to fuck you. Now, they're going to think I'm going to go in, and I'm going to be Nazi. I'm married to a Puerto Rican. My friend is an African American.
Right.
I don't know what you are, Mike. What, are you German? I don't know.
Just Mike. Polish.
You just full Polish?
No. Other things too. Yeah, Polish was the only thing I was aware of.
If there's American Indian, we're getting a casino. So listen, but if I go in there, I'm covered in tattoos and I'm a bull guy. I'm fucking white power. White power. White power. I have to.
He's
I guess that's my gang, right?
So you gonna turn into Remy?
I was thinking more like the other guy in American History X. I figure
also an Edward Furlong movie.
Oh, no, but that's the thing. So
the greatest actor of
if a generation. White guy goes in who's not connected from the street, they tell you you're gonna get fucked.
No, it's not like that. Like, you go there, you be yourself, you keep it real, you'll stay away. Like, if you into all the foolish stuff, that's what you're gonna
define
get.
Foolish stuff. If you're into the foolish stuff, that's what you're gonna get. So if I walk around with my butthole up like, hey, like, no, explain to me, what is the foolish stuff?
Being in the yard with the punks. Like,
what if the punks are the ones who talk to me? Like, it's my first day, and I'm sitting there in the cafe, and I'm like, hi. And like, oh, thank you for talking to me, Edgar. I appreciate it. It's nice. And then you hang out with Edgar, and now what? You're going to get raped? Is that how that works?
Like
explain.
That's what you present.
It's like if you're hanging out with somebody named Edgar.
Yeah,
Edwina.
You bored that well. You bored that well. Like,
you were basically like raping.
Yeah, like, you bored that well. Like, you just go with, like, real recognizing stuff. Like, if you a little funny and you like men, that's just what you
when we were kids, okay, Caucasian Americans, they're like, don't fuck up.
Right.
If you fuck up, you're going to jail and someone's going to make you their bitch. And this is what they tell you. You're like, oh man, I want to be somebody's bitch. Fuck, I'm gonna not do this. I'm not gonna sell drugs. I'm just gonna, you know, go to school and learn stuff, you know. So my question is, for real, you've been in there on and off multiple times.
Right.
But did you ever do state time? I mean, ever. So you don't know. You don't know what's at state.
Yeah, but like, I'm just saying.
That's where you get fucked. You get fucked at state.
They fucking right there on state road. Like, I'm telling you, like, if that's what you into, that's what you gonna find. What they say, you seeking, you should find.
So when I was young and I had beautiful blonde hair, which I did,
right,
and I was 40 pounds thinner than I am right now.
Right.
Probably more. Maybe 50. Maybe 50 pounds. I don't have the upper body I have. I was a kid. I was tall, thin, white kid, green eyes, blonde hair. And I go in there and they're like, they're not going to just have their way with you?
You know you're going to get tests. They're going to fuck with you, try you.
See, I don't know what test or try you means, Mike. I'm trying to have gutta tell me so I understand the lingo.
Because there's so many different ways I could test you. You could be waiting in line for the phone. You could be waiting in line for the phone and I bust you.
What does bust you mean?
I just walk past you. You waiting in line. You've been waiting for this phone for about 30 minutes to call home to your family.
Okay.
I walk past you and grab the next phone that's available. Now I know you soft.
So if I punch you in the back of the head while you're holding my phone, even though I might get beat up.
Right.
What does that mean?
But I know I won't touch your phone next time without a fight.
Oh.
So we can either fight every day. And I'm going to get tired of fighting you. So we're going to end up not saying nothing to each other because you stood your ground at one time.
So that's real? That's a thing?
Yeah.
So if you go in and you whoops. All right. My second wife had family members who were involved in the same kind of trades that you and I are involved in, like roofing and things. They were rough people. And somebody shot somebody at a bar But he had a license to carry.
Right.
But he popped him like in the kneecap or in the thigh. So it kind of fucked him up. And there was like not quite attempted murder, but it was like fucked up. And he had a license to carry, but the other guy didn't have a gun.
Right.
He did, but then someone swiped it, or he thought he did. I don't know. So he gets time. They give him like 6 years or something. First offense and shit. Right. White family, nice kid. He goes in and his cousin's like, "Hey, when you go there, there's an old guy playing a guitar. Just go up and punch him right in the fucking face and break his guitar and you'll be fine." Is that real? No, I'm serious. Does shit like that happen?
Now, we'll call that wreck chasing.
All right, focus into the microphone.
That's wreck chasing.
Explain what that means.
Now, you just looking for trouble. You chasing trouble. Like, you don't go in there trying to be the toughest guy, because if you go in there trying to be the toughest guy, they're going to try you.
I understand that.
You go in there, mind your business, do your time.
Okay.
You go and get tested. When they test you, you just stand your ground. Because at the end of the day, we all men. We in a place we don't want to be at. So everybody got a little...
So no matter what, you're getting in a fight. No matter what.
No, you...
No, you're connected. No. I'm the white guy with the blonde hair and the green eyes when I was 18.
That's what I'm saying.
I get caught slinging.
See, now the same way you thought about how prison was, or you think prison is, it was the same way for me. And so I went there and seen that it's not how it was portrayed all the time.
But you said when you went in, you already knew people.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody from my neighborhood was there.
You going to find somebody you know. It's a small world.
And then if he gives me socks or some shit, then he's like, "You're going to suck my dick and give me socks." So I don't need that shit in my life.
No, you don't take the candy off the bed.
Yeah, like, once again, Max, you're basically asking for it.
You're like, "Listen, man, you ate my bubblegum." But it was, no, you ate my bubblegum. Now you got to suck my dick. You're like, "But I don't want to suck your dick, man. I got socks. You want my socks?" I don't know.
No, see, it's not as
cut and dry.
I can't say it's not as bad as it is because you're away from your family. But all that guerrilla warfare going on, is really relaxed. Like, this is these people's homes. People is going to live here for a while. So they trying to be comfortable. They don't want the nonsense. Like, so whatever you looking for in there, that's what you're going to find. If you want to get stabbed 30 times, you're going to find a way to get stabbed 30 times. If you want a dick in your ass, you're going to find a dick in your ass.
Oh, my God. Like, Mr. Belinsky, you're blushing.
Like, that's the memories.
That's just how it is. I go when I do my time, I come right back out. You know, I work on my mind, my body, and my soul while I'm in there. I ain't really got time to be worried about what nobody else is doing, because I know what I try to get home to.
I mean, I hear you, but that, like, scared straight, you go in there like, "We're going to fuck you." And you're like, "Oh, I don't want to get fucked.
See, that's
shit. I don't want to get sodomized. Ah!"
You know? See, that's entertainment, though. Like, that's just the entertainment side of it, like.
It's them entertaining themselves by fucking.
So see what happens? Gotta.
And I watched that show, Beyond Scared Street.
Yeah.
This shit not like that. They done told these inmates, "We got these kids coming in. We want y'all to act crazy. They trying to scare them, man. You go in there and mind your business. You be all right."
I don't know. I'm not going.
Don't. I'm not advising nobody to go there to find out.
I'm not going.
I'm proud of the fact that I've never done time.
How I was raised and where I went to school and what I did, like, the only things that would put me there would be a drug thing. I don't do them.
Right.
I don't sell them. Mm-hmm. I don't deal with them. And because of that, I work. You know what I mean? I don't mind going to work. I make money. I pay my bills. Like, there's nothing where I'm like, I have to steal to feed my kid or something. Right. You know what I mean? So there's nothing except for insider trading, which I don't have any fucking stocks to trade, frankly, in my life. No, for real. Right. Like, there's nothing that's going to put me there at this point. Like, when you're young, you make, like, bad decisions. Sometimes you take a shortcut. You might do something you shouldn't do. But I'm fucking 40-something. And then I'm like, well, I'm old. So if I go in, I'm probably not the guy they want to rape anyway. They're like, you know, he's a fucking old guy.
See, now, I wish I could say what you just said. Like, I don't plan on going back to jail when I'm 6'3", dark skin. I fit the description all the time. Like, I'm just keeping
no,
it real.
No, fuck that. Listen, this is fucking important. Are you listening? I have had my company since 2010, okay? It is 2018. That's 8 years. Michael, 8 years, okay? I don't speed ever. I'm not a speeder. I drive safely. It's just how I roll, okay? I have never gotten pulled over my work truck in my life. In my life, never. He's sitting shotgun. How many times do I get pulled over?
We didn't even do nothing wrong.
The first one is we changed lanes. They didn't like how we turned. I'm sitting there. A cop pulls up. This is a no-brake car. The cop says it. The cop says, this is a no-brake car. And I'm like, don't your brakes work? Like, what are you talking about? And I had to get explained by Gutta. They don't cut brakes. But he's like, today, I have to go somewhere. So you turned illegally at the corner, and I'm going to let you go. And I'm like, why, thank you.
Now, Mike, now, answer this question seriously. What you think me and Vex got in common? We look suspicious together. He just said he looked like white power. You understand?
So are you switching sides, or did he kidnap you? You could be a double agent.
I'm just trying to fix the roof there.
No, so that happens, right? And we're going to Burger King to fix the fucking roof of the Burger King. That was real. Remember that shit? Right. So that happens. We fix the roof, whatever. We go home. I don't know. A month goes by. Now we're in West Philly. We're on another jerked off fucking roof. And the light was changing, and I kind of just went. No, for real. But in speed, whenever I blow a light, I do like fucking. It was a right turn. It wasn't a blow.
This is like whenever I cheat, I use condoms.
There you go. That's who I am. The cop fucking pulls us over right away. What happened is it was a no turn on red. Yeah, and my light was turning red, and I banged it right before the traffic came. So the lights go on. I pull over. Black guy walks up to the car, and he just looks at Chris, and he's like, you know that you were supposed to admit. Oh, I didn't know that at all. I'm sorry. Never. Hold on. You never admit guilt. I didn't know that. I didn't understand the rules. I'm sorry. Right? So you say that shit. And then he checks my registration and everything, which is all legal. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to let you guys go. Have a good day. But again, Chris was like, it's because I'm in the car, man. And I'm like, what? He's like, I'm in the car. You're going to get fucking pulled over, which I didn't believe. Okay. Now, you're away. Okay? Right. You're not home.
Right.
I buy that fucking Cadillac. I honestly believe that I'm not Caucasian. Like, I really think I'm not Caucasian. So what do? I tint the fucking windows. Right. I don't just tint the windows. I 5% tint the fucking windows. Now, an old late model Cadillac in pristine condition with black windows. Who drives that kind of car, Michael? African Americans.
I was going to say you do.
So.
I was going to say that's the car that killed Tupac.
That was an Impala, which I used to try before. So anyway, here I am. I'm on Street Road. Me and my wife have just left Texas Roadhouse. I'm full as fuck.
To be fair, she could be the reason you get pulled over now.
Black windows. Okay. So I'm driving. I'm not even speeding. I'm slowing down so we can turn to a right eight. Boom, the lights go on. I know I'm not speeding. I have my blinker on. Cop goes out. I roll the windows down. I swear to God, this happened. I swear to God. When he sees that I'm white, he's like, oh my God, how you doing? What's up, man? I'm like, I don't know. You pulled me over. He's like, oh, you guys were just driving slow. I just want to make sure you're okay. I'm like, I'm turning right there into the right. He's like, well, you know, let me see your license. And I was like, yeah, no problem, you know. And he's like, all right. And he goes and he comes back. He's like, listen, you can't have your windows tinted like this. You know, it's illegal. And I'm like, no. He's like, well, I gave you a warning. Don't even worry about it. You guys have a great night. And he walked away. And I said to Jay, I'm like, I feel like he was going to just give me $20. Like, oh, I didn't know you were white. Oh, I'm so sorry. Here's $20. You know, but I really felt like he was like, oh, my God, I thought you were black. Fuck. My bad, dude. My bad. Don't even worry. Don't even worry. Like, it felt weird. Thoughts?
I'm used to it. I'm not saying it's right for to be put in judgment and just thinking people be up to no good, but I dealt with it my whole life, and I feel as though you got to know what's up against you to succeed. So me getting pulled over and stopped because of what I look like, whatever, I'm aware of what's going on, you feel me? I just try my best not to be at the right place at the wrong time.
Mr. Belinsky.
I have been stopped by police many, many times in my life.
Okay.
But
to be fair, you're mostly having drugs in that.
Right, yeah. I'm usually breaking, like, it's like 80-20. breaking the law. The thing is, though, I get just as indignant about it now as I did when I was a teenager, but I do see the difference. Like, once they kind of, like, check everything out, and they're like, oh, he's an affluent white man, it's okay. Because, like, I still get indignant about it, but then I think back on it. Like, so, we were on tour. It was the Hellstorm of Unholy Legions tour.
Good
back
title.
In the black metal days. The first ever national black metal tour in the U.S., mind you.
Ever.
So, we're coming back from the first show, and we were on tour with a few bands, so I had everybody's money in a trash bag. Mm-mm-mm. And I come from a shooting range before we went to the show. We get pulled over. We just pull out of the club. We're like two blocks away. My dad came to the show. We get pulled over. My dad kind of slowed down, looked at us, went, waved, kept going. So we get pulled over with someone else in the car. They're doing all the talking. I just performed, so I'm like a sweaty mess, like barely coherent. They're like, what's wrong with him? And they're like, oh, he's in a band. He was just playing and stuff like that. They're like, all right, can we take a look around the car? And we're like, we'd rather you not. And they're like, well, what's with those trash bags? What's with... So I'm not thinking. I'm not in the best mindset. I was like, those trash bags are filled with money. He's like, do you have any weapons or stuff? And they go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a couple of guns in here. So he pulls us out of the car. We're there for like an hour while they check everything. They talk to us. We straighten everything out and they let us on our way. I was mad about that for the entire tour. Right. Like, that really, really pissed me off. Now, looking back on that, I got pulled over leaving a club in the middle of the night with trash bags filled with money and two guns and walked away from that. Like, I didn't even get a warning. I got like a, hey, don't carry around your money in trash bags when you're armed. Like, that was like, that was the
put
warning.
Them, yeah. Put them in a suitcase, damn it. Yeah.
Like, I, that was like, I walked away from that with like a vague warning about trash bags and firearms. So, like, as mad as I was and as indignant as I was that an hour of my time was eaten up over this, like, in retrospect, clearly I wasn't treated the same way everybody would have been treated in that situation. Right. So there was another thing we actually made a song about called Killing Culture. A little while ago, we were casting for a video. It was for a snuff porn video.
Classy.
Casting in the Bible Belt, and it was shot down by police. We've had our video shoots shut down numerous times by police. I get equally mad every time. We're in the wrong every time. Every time. So this time we weren't, though. This is why I was extra indignant. It got shut down because, again, it's the Bible Belt. Somebody reported to the police that we were casting for a real snuff video, that we were really going to murder actresses. So we spoke to the actresses after we're shut down and we dealt with everything. A handful of the actresses had heard that rumor and still came out to the audition.
Fucking actresses, man.
They thought there was a chance they might really get murdered.
But they're like, maybe I won't.
They're like, or maybe I'll be in a video. Like, that was the real, like...
I'll be famous at
this. Yeah, they made this thing, like, I could get murdered. I could get famous. And decided to roll the dice and actually show up for this. I thought that was the dumbest fucking thing ever. So I was bitching about the entire situation on Facebook, as was everybody else involved. So I was like, fuck, I'm going to write a song about this. So I came up with the music for Killing Culture, and I asked my friend Carl Kevorkian to rap on the song.
Lovely last name.
So he jumps on the song. I explain the whole situation to him, and he goes, mind if I add a little bit of a personal spin to this? I was like, sure. So he added in what would happen if I had been black.
Right.
And how the situation would have changed then. And it put a much darker turn on the song. And that song did really well for us. But again, looking back on it, yes, they were incredibly stupid to think we were holding auditions to murder people. But they thought we were really murdering people, and we still walked away from that. Like, they actually thought we were murderers.
No, maybe murderers. Maybe, you hadn't done it yet.
There was a real chance that we were murdering, like, 100 women, and we still walked away from that. Probably because we're all white now.
Right, we ain't got you today.
Yeah. So, again, I get mad about all this stuff, but I do feel like I get treated differently than other people would in those situations.
The only time in my entire life I was spoken to like a potential perp melted my face. Remember that, like, two podcasts ago we were talking about Drunk John?
Mm-hmm.
Remember? And I said we had did a specific job where we were putting metal siding up on a building.
Yes.
Well, that's time consuming. We were there for weeks, 2 weeks or something. It was a rainy, cold day. I had my big black jacket on, my hood, that thing that I wear to work all the time. And I went to the truck. And from the truck, I was getting John a tool. I think it was like probably a tape measure or something. And I was walking around a corner, and two cops pull up in one of those SUV cop things. And these guys are jacked. Like, they're on the juice. They're big fucking guys. They're like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, siding job? I point to the ladder because I'm like 20 feet away from it. And he's like, you getting in some trouble today, are you? And I'm like, no, I just said I'm working at the site. He's like, lift your jacket. And I wanted to say to him, the fuck you know? But I didn't. So I lifted my jacket. And he's like, turn around. I did. And there's no firearms. And I was like, look at me. I'm literally working on that building right there. Knock. Ask the guy. He'll tell you. And they're like, all right. The car dealership right next to the building I was working on had just gotten held up. at gunpoint. I guess I fit the prescription.
Is that what they told you?
No, I found out later.
Oh, all right.
Why? What do you think what they told you?
That's their favorite thing.
A go-to.
Lift your shirt up, spin around. It was a robbery. You fit the description.
But I didn't even get that far. I didn't question it. I knew I didn't do anything. I knew there was no weed in my pocket. I don't give a fuck. I literally had nails in my pocket from doing this job. Like,
right.
You could search me. You're going to find a fucking screwdriver. Like, this isn't hard shit. And, that was the only time in my entire fucking life I was spoken to like a perp. Now, but the reason being, it was in a shitty neighborhood. It was near Bridge and Pratt, kind of a drug area. But I wanted to say to him, look at my teeth. Do I look like a fucking – no, for real. Do I look like a fucking drug addict to you? I'm a worker and my nails are crystal – are clean. Like, I'm not the fucking one.
Right.
That was the only time. And that was brief. And then once I did the tourney thing for them, they were gone.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I'm just looking at
That's just what your life's like, isn't it?
That's regular. Like we could just be chilling in front of the store without waiting on our food. That's the routine. Lift your shirts and your jackets and do a 360 for us.
And it happened. I was like, and I would have said to them, "Fuck you!" Like, no. But they were massive. They'd have beat the shit out of me. They could have, but I didn't do anything. Like, right. This is what melted my face. Like, I'm literally working right there. That is my fucking ladder. But I didn't give a shit. I don't know, Michael. What do you think?
I was harassed a lot as a teenager as well, and that was more like that when I was a teenager.
Right.
Stuff like that, like where I was spoken to that way. I got hit by a cop once.
Yeah, no, and nothing ever happened.
They would
ever.
Take our shit. They would, like, it was bad as a kid. So, like, but then once I was an adult, I was still getting harassed by cops, but like I said, it situations that looked really, really bad for me, I walked away from without any problems, which would not have happened if I was somebody else. Now, being a teenager, I think it was a little bit different because it was like, all kids are up to no good.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
so
right.
I was just, but then once I was an adult, it's like, he's a white guy. He's probably
right. Right.
I don't know, man. Freaky deaky. That is the end of this podcast, gentlemen. We've reached the time allotted. It is episode number 18 of the Vex on Vex podcast with Mr. Gutter Nice.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Mr. Michael Belinsky.
Thank you.
We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Thank you. This was the third time ever we did a Facebook Live thing. Now, here's the thing. It's past midnight where we're recording, even though this doesn't come out for weeks. And the numbers have dropped. So, Raina, thank you so much for listening. Robot Phillips, thank you for listening. Someone else is still logged on. Let me just double check who that is, and I can thank them for listening. And
thank y'all for the support.
Yeah, sincerely. No one's watching. So we're live and no one's here. So this is the Vex on Vex podcast. This is VexX telling you to stay frosty.